You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? And welcome to your Hoops edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast, brought to you by Fargo Basketball Academy and Shoot 360. I'm your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum. Joining me today, former NDSU men's basketball captain and our lead Hoops analyst, Mr. Nate Zastro. Nate, how are you?
Doing well. Big road trip this weekend, and hopefully NDSU can find a way to get a couple wins and kind of stay in that 2-3 range heading into the conference tournament.
Yeah, at least find a way to make the split. Don't get swept, and that might be a tall task at USD and at South Dakota State. All right, we'll head into the news. Cody Mauch playing really well at the Senior Bowl. You see a lot of his clips right now, showing some versatility, working in a guard, not getting overpowered at guard, which is a good sign for him. I still believe that he can play tackle at the NFL level, but you never know what teams might need, too. You never know what the team drafting him might see him as and the way that they might be able to use him. North Dakota State yesterday was National Signing Day Part 2. The Bison announced the signing of the four transfers, Marcus Gully from West Fargo and from MSUM, Hunter Zenzen from Barnesville and from Iowa State, Isaac Zadichka, an interior offensive lineman, and Marcus Shepard, who was a cornerback at Bowling Green, along with six high schoolers. The other big news, Mike McFeely did a good job kind of rummaging through public records to find this. Coach Richmond, Dave Richmond, has been extended through 2026-2027 season, which is always good for stability. I would assume that does a somewhat of a job of protecting the school as far as increasing his buyout, just because there's more years on the deal. Not that, I don't know that Coach Richmond's going anywhere, but if North Dakota State finishes second in the league and runs to Tuesday night, anything can happen. You never know. That's kind of what we found out with the transfer portal and obviously the departures of Miles and Phillips and Bowl and Kleiman. Like this, that is part of being mid-major, and that is what North Dakota State is. Folks, if you are looking for a better deal from your insurance company or just maybe want to shop around a little bit, check out the guys over at Tundra Insurance in Horace, North Dakota, immediately south of Big Herbs. In fact, give former Bison football player Quinn Allo a call at 701-969-1661. Quinn's going to be able to check with over 20 carriers to find the exact perfect coverage for you, your business, your family, whatever that may be, whether it be price, coverage level, whatever it is, he's probably going to be able to do better for you than you've got going on right now with your current company. Check out Tundra Insurance at tundrainsurance.com, on Facebook, Twitter, or just stop on by south of Big Herbs on the main drag in Horace. We did not get a chance to get together for a UND recap. I think with the game being on a Friday night, you and I wouldn't have probably been able to get together till Monday. Would have been a little bit removed, but we can go over that game a little bit. I think Grant had 40 in his eyes. In fact, I was obviously there sitting next to Dexter in my normal home game spot. Saw Grant go to check back in, and I don't know why this was the line of demarcation, but Josh Streit hits a little right-hand hook over left shoulder to push the lead from 16 to 18. And Richmond turned around and gave him a little motion to take his ass on back to the bench. Nelson finishing with a career high 36 it's fun times that we live in, Nate.
Yeah, he keeps showing us something different every game, it seems like, with highlight plays and different moves within his skill set. And, I mean, for some reason, on Friday night, UND kind of gave Grant the Western Illinois treatment where they were just going to kind of play him one-on-one and see if he could outscore him. And he got his, and other guys still played really well. And Grant's an unselfish player, and I know he had no assists that game, but he didn't need to. He just went one-on-one and completely went at every guy that UND threw at him and basically scored on him. And he hit two threes, 13 for 20 from the floor, and 8 for 11 from the line. So very efficient game. And I thought NDSU got some nice production from other pieces with Bowden and Tejavis, and Waddles kind of had their little coming out party. Hopefully they can carry that forward.
Yeah, and I think if you went back and looked at the tape, I think he probably had some hockey assists where his pass led to a pass that led to a bucket. But I didn't feel like it was an overly selfish performance from Graham. And I feel like, you know, I talked to – if folks watch, you know, we'll usually have after a home game, one player, you know, usually on post game. And I asked Bowden about that because I would feel like, you know, I was not a very good basketball player, but, you know, I'd play that one or that two and stand out on the wing and pray that somebody would pass it to me because I love to shoot. And I feel like with playing with a player like Grant, I feel like myself, I could get caught watching. and that was what I kind of asked Bowden, like, when he's going like that, especially when he's crossing guys up at the top of the key, how hard is it to pay attention to what you should be doing as far as making yourself available for the kickout, and as opposed to just, what if he puts this guy in a blender and dunks on the top of his head? So that part is interesting to me, or I at least asked Bowden about that. You know, do you ever just catch yourself watching this guy do his thing?
Yeah, I think it's really important for guys off the ball because, I mean, at some point – teams they're going to leave their man and try to stop them. You would think UND didn't do that, or at least they didn't follow their game plan very well. But yeah, it's going to be really important going forward because not all teams are going to guard him like that. They're really going to be digging off. So it's important for guys on the backside to be moving and find an open area where they can get open, and they're going to be getting more open shots if Grant keeps playing like that and getting to the basket. And I think regardless, Grant's going to be the focal point of a scouting report, and it's going to be important for other guys to be able to move and find an open area to hit shots.
Yeah, we mentioned, like before when we were talking to each other, Morgs has to be able to make that 18-footer, or he's got to be able to get to the basket. He's good because – and Damari needs to be able to knock down an open shot. And those are the two big ones for me. And I think they both are capable of it. You know, Damari, I think in the future, as he works maybe to get a little bit more trajectory on that shot of his, he's not a terrible three-point shooter right now. He's 33% from downtown. That's fine. But if he can elevate that as his career goes on, that'll be a big deal because right now I don't think you want to double off Bowden. I don't think you want to double off Waddles or Jakari or Skunberg. You know, I think the guys that they have playing the wing can shoot it, and everybody knows that. It's Damari and whoever's playing the five that I think you worry about when you double Grant, or not worry about, but that's not an obvious, you know, answer. One of those guys I just mentioned, Bowden Skunberg, really nice night for Bo. He's been very good this season. I think he's top five right now in the Summit League in field goal percentage, which is not something you always see from a, you know, guard type or a wing type player. But he's either at 50% or just barely above 50% on the season. He had 17 against UND. I think it's always fun to watch Bowden and Grant really kind of put the screws to UND because they are North Dakota kids. I enjoy, you know, watching that, obviously. But a very efficient night on a night that he only went 1 for 5 from downtown. 7 of 14 from the floor, 2 for 2 from the free throw line. And grabbed 7 boards, and that's a part of his game that's really, I think, improved. You know, he's averaging almost 5 rebounds a game, which again from the wing position is impressive. He's having a real nice season.
Yeah, Bolden's kind of, we've talked about it on recent podcasts. He's been very efficient in finding his areas to score, and he's been looked on to score a little bit more this year. And obviously he's got his defensive effort that he brings each and every game, but he's been very efficient. And I didn't know he was shooting that high of a percentage. So he helps out on the glass, and he's finding different ways to score, and his shot has looked better. I know 1-for-5 you just mentioned last game, but he's had some games where he's gotten really, really hot, and the Omaha game is the first one you think of. But hopefully he keeps playing well, and he's going to be looked on to be that secondary scorer behind Grant.
Yeah, here Morgan, who had 29 in that loss to Kansas City, but I definitely understand where you're coming from on that deal. I've just been so impressed with what they've been able to do when they have it going. But the consistency is the biggest part when you have a young team. And I think the next person who tells Richmond he has a young team is just going to get thrown out of the press conference. But it is, I mean, it is a factual thing. You look at their average age, and man, you look at Oral Roberts, that's what they've achieved through the portal, through retention somehow. You know, Vanover's old. Max is old. Weaver is old. Juergens is old. They're old. They're good. I'm not saying they're not good, but they got old. And that's really where you have to kind of look at the overall, because we mentioned Richmond extended through 26-27. And we're going to find out because he has not been big into the portal. Certainly not the D1 to D1 portal. I mean, who was the last guy, Nate? Can you think of the last D1 guy?
I can't.
Because Jakari's JUCO, Yoder's D3, Malik Clements JUCO. I mean, Vinny Shahid JUCO. You're looking for even Tyler Witts JUCO. So I'm with it. Especially if you can be a top two or three in the league with a bunch of kids, which is what they have. Here's where you got to retain those kids. And that's something that I even wanted to talk about with Nelson is I just hope he ends his career as a Bison. I really do. And I mean that for him. Like I don't know that the grass will be greener on the other side. You can do what Azmus did, do what Baylor did, go check out the NBA draft stuff and go if you're going to go. That's fine. Just for a Devils like kid, I know much his family enjoys going to the games. I think next year if he comes back, NDSU would be a pretty prohibitive favorite to go to the tournament from the Summit League. And if he comes back and the rest of this crew comes back, I should say. You know, get his chance in March. Get his chance on that stage as the guy. You know, there's NIL opportunities, Fargo basketball, our sponsor, as you know, works with him. Nodak Insurance works with him. Now, is somebody, you know, gonna show up with $250,000? I don't know. Probably not from up here, but, you know, there are opportunities for Grant. And like I said, if he heads the NBA after this year, great. If he transfers to a high major and he gets drafted, and another school's name is next to his name on draft day, that'd be pretty tough to swallow, I think. Yeah, it'd be pretty tough to swallow. But the point I was getting into with Richmond is this plan is fine, and it's showing that it's okay. You know, they're 6-4. Don't lose these guys then. don't lose the guys that you don't. They've been losing guys in the portal, but outside of maybe Malik Harden-Hayes, I don't know who they hadn't planned on losing that they're really sad about. And that's no disrespect to Donald Carter, Jackson Notek, Jarius Cook, you know, go on down the line, Odell Wilson, whatever. Don't lose these guys, you know, retain, develop. The retain part became a lot harder than it used to be even 4 years ago. So, gosh, what were we even talking about?
I think the big thing with Grant too, and you mentioned it, is he's a North Dakota guy. He loves North Dakota State. And obviously he's being recognized now by NBA draft scouts and basically all over the country. So I don't think Grant needs a bigger school to get noticed or get into that draft conversation. He can do that at NDSU. So it used to be in the past where kids would go to a bigger school to get recognized, and that's not going to be the case for Grant. So hopefully it's NBA draft or he stays another year at NDSU.
I mean, you should declare for the draft the second the season gets over and just don't hire an agent. Go do all the stuff. Go do all the stuff.
And they can do that, like, basically past the combine. And I'm not saying he's going to get invited to the combine, but they push that date pretty far back where those guys can actually go to the combine now before they pull out. And it used to be before the combine they had to make their decision, and now it's after it.
And if he doesn't get invited to the combine, that's a pretty good sign that he should go back to school. Anyway, I think he would be, though. I think he would be invited. I just because of the raw number of kids. I mean, I've seen him ranked anywhere from 30 to 60 to not on the board. You know, he's not a lottery pick right now. And I don't know that that would change because NBA teams want young prospects. They want guys whose ceilings they can project. You know, he's even being talked as an old prospect at 20 because he's being compared to college freshmen and G League igniters that are 18.4 years old, you know? But anyway, all of it's exciting. I thought it was interesting when Norman got hot, the long stretch that they went without Bowden. Richmond's always teaching. And that was a noticeable one where you get a guy in the scouting report that says he can shoot it. He pops four threes in the first half. You're probably going to sit down.
Yeah, and UND as a whole was pretty hot in that first half. And I know NDSU scored right with them and had a really good offensive game, but that was a little worrisome. And you could tell in the halftime interview that Richmond was a little not very happy with the defensive effort. And they picked it up to start the second half, and it carried over. But, it was a teaching moment, it looked like. And we have plenty of defenders that I think Richmond's comfortable with to take on some different assignments. And they're still going to need to be a little bit better defensively. It's kind of fun to see the offense being a lot better this year. They've had some pretty high scoring games in some, but it's going to be the defensive effort once that conference tournament hits, because those games are going to be a lot slower half court games and kind of a grinded out type game. And NDSU is going to have to be able to get some stops.
Yeah. He's sick of giving up, you know, 40s and 50s in the first half. There's no question about it. They've had a couple instances where they've turned it around in the second half and played well defensively in the second half, but he's not about that life. And honestly, that's the funny thing, because that's why, you know, they're 2-11, whatever the hell they were. Pretty bad vibes. A lot of people asking me, you know, do they stink? Are they finally going to have like a real down year? You know, questioning the Richmond way, if you will. And I just said, look, guys, they're talented. Maybe as talented as I've ever seen. And as crazy as that sounds with some of the players and the groups and what they've been able to accomplish. But he said they're talented. And what I'll tell you is they can play offense. And if it kills him, David will teach them to play defense. And it might kill him. I don't know. It might end up actually just killing him, but they've shown it in stretches. They've shown they are capable of it, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes, because they can play offense with anybody. They showed that against Oral Roberts. They can literally play offense with Oral Roberts for long stretches of time. They have to play better defensively, period. Big night for the depth. Want to make mention, you know, our supporter Andrew Morgan, his grandmother passing away. That was kind of cool. The way that Stripe put on that headband for Morgs. That stuff, no matter how old you are, that stuff always stinks. And we found out that, you know, due to the roads, and I think he was a pallbearer, he's an important part of the ceremony. Just felt like, you know, it's gonna be really hard for him to get home. And that's a big deal, man. Missing a Division I basketball game, that's big. And the way that Stripe played, it was a big night for the depth. 24 minutes for Waddles, 25 minutes for Stripe, 11 for Hostrider, and still not much for Yoder, which is interesting. I mean, it looks like Javis is the backup point guard, or Javis and Waddles a little, or Javis and Jakari a little, but it looks like the backup point guard spot is just not going to be Yoder anymore, even in a 20-point win at home. Shouts to Ryan Sletten, too. The walk-on kid just about hit a little midi that went in and out. And if that would have happened, I think the I really do believe that the roof would have blown off the Shack, because everyone is now aware of Ryan Sletten in a big way. The Larimore kid, like I said, he had the people excited, man. It was fun.
Yeah, I think I talked about it earlier. Tejavis and Waddles really played well, and I'm going to check their minutes really quick. I think they were in the 20s with their minutes and really efficient. And Tejavis was 4 for 5 from the floor, 2 for 2 from the 3, which is what he does, and had that huge dunk. I think that was right before the half. And Waddles had a good start to the year, and then hit his freshman wall where things were kind of moving a little too fast for him, and just wasn't shooting it well, wasn't playing well. 24 minutes, 4 for 8 from the floor, 1 for 3 from the 3, 9 points, 5 rebounds. If NDSU could get half of that from Waddles, I think that really makes them a better team, and seems like a kind of an energy guy, and he can come in and he's definitely not afraid to shoot. There's been some times where he comes right into the game and kind of just launches, and I'm just like, holy moly, that was a quick shot. I don't think Richmond would be very happy about that one. But he's obviously got some confidence in his shot, and he's going to need to knock down some shots to keep that depth for NDSU going forward.
Folks, the Bison Report radio podcast is brought to you by Fargo Basketball Academy and Shoot 360. They've got classes, private lessons, small group, and team trainings for all skill levels and ages in both basketball and volleyball. They've got a beautiful facility down on 52nd Avenue. Talk to Josh and Katie Johnson, just phenomenal people running that facility. And it's unlike anything in the area. Shoot 360 is the world's most advanced and cutting edge technology training in the world. Just go down and look at it, or at least check out the website, because it's so unique. Something I would have killed for growing up. I love shooting, and if your child loves to get reps, to get shots up and improve what they do, Shoot 360 and Fargo Basketball Academy are the place to be. Check them out, fargobasketball.com. All right, let's get into the preview. So this is the one I think they have to have. I think Frost, you view it, even as beat up as South Dakota State is, I think you view Frost as gravy. Your 1-point favorites tonight, go win the game. This is the game that you have to win, I think.
Yeah, and USD is obviously struggling. I think fourth game in 9 or 10 days, and they're coming off a 50-point loss to Oral Roberts on Monday. So can't imagine practices have been very fun for them this week, but they did have a travel day either late Monday night or Tuesday, so they really haven't been able to practice too much. So you probably get either a practice when they get back Tuesday and a full practice Wednesday, which is mostly prep. And when you've played that many games before that, you're probably not practicing too much. So they probably haven't had much time to really fix the things that haven't gone well. For NDSU, it's going to be key. It's a road game, and South Dakota, I think, is more talented and better than what they've played recently. They've shot the ball really well in the game in Fargo, and it'll be important for NDSU to not treat this as them not being very good, because they're definitely talented enough to beat them.
Yeah, they gave them a hell of a run in the Shack. There's no question about it. But as you mentioned, this is their fourth game since January 26th. This is a meat grinder part of their schedule. They lost by literally 50 points in Tulsa. I mean, could not – at one time, it was like 83 to – I don't know. It was bad. It was all bad. 6 of 27 in the first half, shot themselves out of the game. I mean, you go 6 of 27 in the first half, unless it's the Big Ten and it's like Wisconsin, Illinois, the game is over for you. Killer. And so my question is, and we'll find out, I think, in the first, 2-3 media timeouts, is USD desperate or are they reeling? You know, they're 5 and 6 in the league. Teetering on, then this is a group, and I can't even remember what the preseason poll looked like. I paid very little attention to the preseason poll this year, just because I thought the league was wide open, which, with the exception of Oral Roberts, it is. I don't know. I'm very interested to see like their attitude coming into this game, because they're this team, I believe, picked in the top four. Again, I'm not 100% on the preseason poll, but this team is really close to the play-in game on Friday. They're very, very close to the play-in mini tournament on Friday if they drop this game.
Yeah, and I forgot what I was going to say. They're definitely talented. They're shooting 40% from the three, and I think you mentioned it really well. The first two, three media timeouts are going to be kind of a teller, because I think they're going to come out with some fire, and if NDSU responds and kind of plays with them or takes the lead on them, you might see a change of attitude with that USD bunch with the way things are going. So I think the first 10 minutes are going to be really important for NDSU.
Yeah, they are. You got to go out and punch, especially on the road, take the crowd out of the game. Like I mentioned, narrow favorites basically viewed as a coin flip tonight. I think the coin has to flip in their favor. I don't think NDSU wants to, you know, work their way back towards 500. And then all of a sudden they're in the conversation for the play-in game. Cruz Perrault-Hunt and Archambault are the two that you really got to pay attention to. They were the guys getting their shots against Oral Roberts. They just weren't going in. I think you got to do what you did in Fargo, and that's dare Comateros to beat you, which he was kind of doing early. And then like the percentages just sort of played to what they are. And that's a big deal defensively too, because Comateros is not much of a defender, and the guys that they bring in for Comateros are not much of defenders. That's where NDSU's huge advantage is Nelson and Morgan. That's where, and they're an advantage against every team, but this South Dakota team is four around one. Damani Hayes basically plays the power forward position at 6'4.5". This is where their advantage lies.
Yeah, USD, I mean, they're going to spread you out. They're going to shoot threes. I think just under half their shots or field goal attempts are from three. They're shooting 40%. They have, I think, three shooters that are shooting 40 or higher, and then they have two others in the 35 range for percentage. So they're going to spread you out. But the thing with that is they're small. Besides Comateros, they have no big guy, and they're last in the Summit League in block shots. I think they have 17 block shots and 11 conference games. So they don't really have a rim protector, and I think NDSU's advantage is going to be pounding that ball inside. And if Comateros gets in foul trouble, they're going to have zero big guy. I think Grant's versatility, you might see him play a little bit of the five, since he can guard anyone on the perimeter. So it'll be important. NDSU, I think they need to pound it inside and run them off the three-point line, make them two-point shooters. We've talked about that with the SDSU teams in the past. I don't think USD is as good as those SDSU teams, but they're going to kind of live and die by the three. And recently they've been dying, but they definitely have the ability to get hot. We saw that a little bit in Fargo.
For sure. I'm interested to see the fresh legs for Andrew Morgan. NDSU was only scheduled to have a one game week last week, their travel partner being UND coming up to Fargo. But he missed that game. And we know why. That's been explained. But now he's a guy who hasn't played basketball in 2 weeks. So he should be fresh. And like I said, they don't have anybody that can match up with Morgan. That's a terrible matchup for USD, because I don't think you really want Comateros guarding him full time. And if it's not Comateros, it's a much bigger problem. it's a significantly, in my opinion, worse situation for USD, because as I mentioned, they're small. The last time they played against Morgan, I think he got into a little bit of foul trouble, only 26 minutes, but he is a legitimate matchup problem for them, as I see it. USD is last in block shots. They don't really have a rim protector. As we mentioned, Comateros is more of a pick and pop big. I don't know how many phone books you can lift under his vertical, but Tasos Comateros is not an elite athlete, but they are second in three-point percentage. The Bison have to guard the three. Moving on to South Dakota State. We mentioned this is gravy, I think. You get the win in Verm tonight, get that done. I think the South Dakota State game becomes gravy. It becomes a huge deal if you win. You move back to 8-4. Now you've got Denver and Omaha at home. Now all of a sudden you're talking about 10-4. Now getting way ahead of ourselves, but that's what that South Dakota State game can kind of be the linchpin of, is like, okay, you pick off USD tonight. I'm not going to say shock the world in Brookings because they're beat up, but go down and get a win in Brookings. Now you're controlling the driver's seat.
Yeah, and South Dakota State's kind of found a way here with the injury bug, and they've defended really well. I think they're third in the league in scoring defense, and it's kind of going to be the Zeke Mayo show. He's averaging 17 a game, only one other player in double figures, and they don't shoot as many threes this year, and they haven't shot a very good percentage. But I think NDSU had a pretty good game plan last time they played South Dakota State, with kind of throwing a bunch of different stuff at Mayo. He's going to get his shots up, and he's shown that. And yes, he's got to make sure to make those shots as tough as they can for him to get his points. And they did that last time in Fargo, and that's ultimately why they came up with the win.
Yeah, it is. And that is the big key, is Zeke Mayo. They will not get a friendly whistle. The frost treatment is real. And I know you always complain about calls, against your rival. The frost treatment is not something that Bison fans know about. The frost treatment is something that Summit League fans know about. Everybody knows about the frost treatment. So do not expect a friendly whistle for the Bison at South Dakota State. It will not happen. So that's something you got to overcome. They haven't won in frost since 2016. I was live and in attendance for that bad boy. Dengue had a nice little game. Paul played well, and they really had the explosive entrance of one Jared Samuelson, who at the time, I believe, was a true freshman walk-on. South Dakota State went zone because at that time they weren't very athletic. That was very early in the Mike Dom days. They weren't playing much defense for Coach TJ Otzelberger, and so he wanted to go zone. And Richmond threw Jared Samuelson at that zone, and he was banging threes. And I think they won like 80-69 or something like that. But it has been a long time. The Bison got really close last year with Rocky and Sam and Tyree, but were not able to get the deal done. And so it has not been a fun time in Frost since 2016. And Nate, what I will say is you can't look ahead to the cake next week. Get a win, lose this game tonight, whatever. You're still looking ahead to next week, maybe not as a team, but as a fan. I'm looking ahead to next week at two teams that you waxed on their home floor in Denver and Omaha as a real opportunity to get healthy. So that, to me, is kind of the danger with that South Dakota State game. But is that just off the table because it is South Dakota State? You're never going to look past South Dakota State.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way they look past South Dakota State. Frost is a tough place to play, and the fans are rowdy, and they're going to complain about calls until they get calls. And it's going to be important for NDSU to just stick to their game plan and be ready to get a win on the road. It's obviously a rivalry game, and I think they've played pretty decent at Frost the past few years, even though they haven't gotten a win. But it's a different environment for freshmen like Tejavis and Waddles, and it's going to be tough to get a win. I think it's going to be really important for them to find a way to get a win tonight so that there's a little pressure off you on Saturday. You don't want to go into Saturday thinking you really need a road split by getting a win at Frost. So hopefully they can get it done tonight and kind of play with house money on Saturday in Brookings.
Yeah, and it will feel like house money. They're ninth in scoring. They're only ahead of UND. They're ninth in three-point percentage. Life's a little different without Baylor Shireman and without Doug Wilson, is it not?
Yeah, and obviously they have some injuries with Easley out, and I forget the other guy who's out. But the big advantage that NDSU had, and I kind of forgot about this, is they out-rebounded them 40-28 in that first match, but had 14 offensive rebounds. So I think that's kind of the big key there. If NDSU can find a way to get some second shots, both teams don't shoot a super high percentage. I know NDSU is shooting a lot higher percentage in conference play. So if it's usually a grinded out game with South Dakota State. It's either a shootout and kind of a slower game in the second half, but it's going to come down to the glass, I think, just like it did last time. So extra effort and finding a way to get some second shots, I think, will be important.
I think you're exactly right. I think it is going to be important. They are big, is what they are, without with Dentlinger in there. He's not the athlete that like a Morgan is, but he's strong and he's old. They're third in scoring defense. Arians does a good job. I think he should be back and available. He missed a little bit of time there. Mayo is an athletic defender. Mims is an athletic defender. Mims and Arians not offering much right now offensively, or at least they didn't in Fargo. I thought that was very noticeable, that if Mayo wasn't getting buckets, it was difficult for anybody else to create offense against North Dakota State's scoring defense. I think this is as good a chance as the Bison have had in Frost in a long, long time, without Apple, without Easley. NDSU is just more talented than South Dakota State right now. They just are. Moores is not living up to the hype. I had another 5-pointer the other night, and he might turn into something, but he was really, I think, their, as far as their plan, I think they thought he was going to be the second banana to Apple, or excuse me, the second banana to bananas and apples. That's my own fault. The second banana to Mayo. It's all in the fridge with this South Dakota team. The second banana to Mayo, and then have the complementary pieces of an Apple who you can go to, in the low block, have the complementary piece of Easley and Arians and Mims, who can knock down wide open shots and did off of actions of Baylor Shireman and Doug Wilson. But as individual creative offense, they're non-existent. So I think, like I said, this is the best chance that they have had in Frost in a while.
Yeah, I think the big thing, too, in that first matchup is NDSU kind of – I mean, Zeke Mayo was coming off a lot of ball screens, and whoever was hedging kind of stayed with him. Morse, they were kind of letting Morrison, that lean kid, shoot. I mean, they were 3-for-15 from the three with absolutely wide-open looks. So I think NDSU starts that way, and you kind of adjust if they hit a couple. But I think you stick to that and make those guys make shots.
Absolutely. All righty. Let's get the heck out of here. Thank you to Fargo Basketball Academy for sponsoring the show. Thank you to Tundra Insurance. Thank you to Nate for his time today. Thank you for all you wonderful people for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend. Go Bison.